Mystery's Time Machine, as we go back through the mists of time, discovering the myths and legends of the blues.
I went to the crossroads, fell down on my knees.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. My grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom.
Now that is the track that started us off on our path to discover the spirituals. Now the spirituals. Now one train of thought is that the blues came from the spirituals. Another train of thought is that the blues merged with the spirituals and became spiritual blues, as it were. Now, the trouble is with that, prior to the 19th century, when the spirituals were, as it were, at their height, the blues existed but weren't recorded. There's very little recording in paper form or even legendary of blues prior to the 19th century. But we do know that the blues existed in some form or other in the 17th and 18th century, simply because it was the way that people in their deprivation, their poverty, their misery expressed themselves in song. And often that would just be an individual person in his own environment, playing perhaps a rudimentary instrument and singing or reciting or chanting or moaning the blues, whichever you prefer. Now, the spirituals are simply biblical stories that are transposed into song. But it's not always song as we know it. It can be a chant or a moan. If you take the Mississippi Moaners, you'll know exactly what we mean by that. But it's basically was the expression of despair and misery of the slaves from the 17th century onwards. Now, there are many, as I don't need to tell you this, there are many music genres, including the one we now call the blues. And I suppose it's fair to say that the blues emerged from the spirituals, but existed far before the spirituals. Now, the spirituals, if you, I hope this is not too presumptuous of me, if you spend some time listening to our productions and on our website and all that kind of thing, you'll know that we do an awful lot of research going back as far as it's possible to go in time to explore the earliest blues and where they came from, the intonations, the lyrics, the words, the meaning of the words, the environment that these people were in, and all that kind of thing. And we do it really for three basic reasons. One, we absolutely love it. It is an intriguing journey back through the mists of time and exploring all these depths of this wonderful music. The second thing is, we mustn't let this music die. We cannot allow these people to disappear into history and into the mists of time. Now, that sounds almost like a political broadcast, but it's not really. It's simply the way we feel about the music, and we know so many of our very good friends around the world also feel the same way. Now, prior to the end of the Civil War and emancipation, the spirituals were originally a tradition simply passed from one slave generation to the next. They passed on the myths, the legends, the stories, the songs. And the biblical stories were literally memorized and then transposed into song. Although they were not necessarily a song as we would describe a song today. They had chants, they had groans. Don't worry, by the way, that we're going to play quite a bit of music in this production, so I hope I'm not boring you too much, but I do want to get you a picture, paint you a picture of what we're actually talking about. These are the spirituals. Now, early recording studios, such as they were going back into the 19th and late 18th century, all they were interested in really is recording the white people singing the spirituals and their derivatives. But going back to around about the 20s, suddenly it dawned on them that people like Mamie Smith were singing, they were singing a spiritual with a blues intonation. And that's where we get this connection going on. The connection between the spirituals, but these people recognized that there was a blues element within that spiritual, and that's what's important. You all know how much I talk about this guy, the great W.C. Handy. Now, W.C. Handy, he heard these songs. He did pretty well what we're doing now. He looked back into the history of this music, and he was such a clever man that he actually memorized not only the words of the song, but the musical background going on in that song. And he transposed that into, and I'm going to use the word, he transposed them into blues. He then took them to Memphis with his band, the Memphis Blues Band. And they were played at that time by W.C. Handy and his band. Now, that band was pretty well a brass band. It wasn't completely a brass band, but it was predominantly a brass band. And he was also, he not only was an arranger, he was a musician, incredible musician, but he was also a singer. And he transposed these spiritual stroke blues songs into playable music for his band. And then the band played the music and he sang the lyrics of the spiritual. Wouldn't you have just loved to have heard that? Now, if you're a blues fanatic like I am and the rest of the guys around PD Productions, you'll know that we simply would have loved to get on board that old blue time machine and go back in time. Now, most of this music was a cappella. It was no backing to it. They hadn't got any instruments going back there, but they did occasionally have the most rudimentary instruments, and that amounts to something like a basic drum or a washboard or some kind of flute or something like that. and they put these songs together and they sang their songs. Now, while the spirituals were often created by slavery communities, it's important to note that even before the spirituals, these people were expressing, and these are the key words as far as I'm concerned, their sorrow, deprivation and misery in song, albeit, as we've just said, that's chant grown, Mississippi grown, simply loosely linked to it. Simply a blues under a different name. So we call them spirituals, but we know there's an element going on in there of the blues as well. Now, that may well start a little bit of an argument amongst our community, and I hope it does, because we do need to examine and we do need to recognise exactly where the blues come from. I hope you'll agree with that. You may not, and if you don't, or if you do, write to us. Why not? Talk to us. We'll talk to you. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. So we're going back to the 19th century, and now we're discovering that the spirituals existed. They were sung by the slaves. They weren't just sung by the slaves. They were talked as the slaves, and they were a source of expression of misery, sorrow, despair, but they were also a means of worship in church and also a means of entertainment. Now, the slave songs, or if you will, the spirituals, tell stories that are essential sung tones. They're not really songs as such. The ones we're going to play are, but a lot of them are not. And the further you look into this, the more intrigued it becomes. Now, some of them simply amounted to sung tones, not words, just tones, and were essentially sung as tones in a long, loud, deep breathing prayer. And these people were filled with the anguish and misery that's beyond our comprehension. And that's why we can't really reproduce what these guys and these people did. I don't want to use that word, guys. It's absolutely inappropriate. But every tone, every word, every intonation, every phrase of these spirituals is a testimony against slavery and a prayer to God for deliverance from their torment. Like this. Now, this track is a traditional spiritual, and it was first noted, first written down, first recognized in 1870. Well, obviously, we haven't got a track from 1870, but we have got a more modern version of it, and that's what I'm going to play for you right now. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Home.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. You know, the very first time I heard that song was in Louisiana, and would you believe, in a bar room? There was a lady sat on a very small stage with a guy with what looked like a homemade guitar, and she sang that song, and about halfway through I realised the tears were running down my face. It was so moving, the words, and she explained to us that it was a spiritual. It was based on a spiritual from all those years ago, and suggested to us that perhaps we should try to examine the feeling behind that song. And of course, she was absolutely right. Many of these spirituals were actually coded messages. It was illegal for the slaves to learn to read or to write, and it was also illegal, other than worship, for them to gather in groups and in congregations, as it were. And a classic example is the track I want to play for you now. Now, this is recorded by the Reverend Perley Brown, and I'm not sure how long ago, but it's certainly one of the spirituals, and it's one of the coded spirituals that calls the slaves to meet secretly, to announce a meeting. Now, if you listen carefully to the words, the singer invokes the need to gather, to share their despair, and to worship. In prayer, they seek to ask that their burden be lifted. And the words really are steal away to Jesus. It simply means to escape, albeit briefly, from their misery and their sorrow. Take a listen to this. Steal away to Jesus.
Steal away. Steal away. Steal. Trumpet sound within of my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Now the reason why they were singing that song, they was in the round the campfire praising their God. That one day they were free. It would be free. That doing up slavery. And the song remains in me from my grandmother. She used to tell me how that they would beat her up and make her go to the field where she wanted to go or not ply the mules. So it would say the same song, steal away. Steal away. Steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Green trees up in it, poor sinner stand a trembling. The trumpets are within of my soul. Got long to stay here.
Steal away to Jesus. Now, during our research, we found out that it was illegal to learn to read or write or to gather other than for worship, to meet, as it were, in groups and in congregations. And we found out the kind of punishments that were handed down when these people, when these slaves met together, or they learned to read, or they learned to write, or they learned to express themselves. And I have to tell you, my very good friends, that I was reading this and I haven't yet got to the end of the particular section of the research books that talks about that, because it is heartrending. It is just monstrous. It's an abomination of a human spirit. You'll forgive me, I'm a little bit tearful even talking about it. It was absolutely horrible. But that's what we're talking about. Now, songs such as Steal Away were in fact codes to say we're going to meet wherever they met, I presume somewhere secretively. But there's another one that we found called Follow the Drinking Gourd. Now, apparently, according to folklore, and this is folklore, and that's important because it may not be true, but we most certainly think it is. We've cross-referenced this particular track and found out this item of folklore is almost certainly true. And essentially what it is, the words of the song are directions to runaway slaves to find their way north to freedom. It's called Follow the Drinking Gourd.
When the sun comes back and the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd. There the old man's waiting for to carry you to freedom.
Get the idea? Follow the drinking gourd. In other words, follow the river or the stream, and that will take you north to freedom. Another one of those coded songs. It's got that feeling of a worship gospel song, but it's got a meaning behind it, and that's talking about how to escape to freedom in the north. Now, most of these spirituals were in fact gospel songs. It has been said that they're actually folk songs, and of course they are. They are folk songs to a large extent, but they've got a gospel intonation that they would be used and sung in worship, in congregations, in church. But they were also used in the fields and the plantations. Now, we often play on backtracking a prison work song, but we're not really talking about a prison work song this time around. We're talking about the plantations. where they were working in the fields and picking their cotton and all that type of thing. So it sort of it kind of drops down into two distinct channels of blues spiritual, as it were. So first of all, there's the Mississippi Groan, and we're going to play a track like that. Now, this Mississippi Groan is probably one of the deepest, most descriptive songs that I could possibly find for you. Now, it's such a shame that we can't find the original songs. We can't go back to 200 years and find songs that they were singing at that time. We can play the song being sung, but we can't play it as it was and by the slaves actually singing it. And that's probably a good thing, because it would be heartrending to hear it. But I want to play you, first of all, a Mississippi Groan. Now, the Mississippi Groan, we can hear clearly as anything. The misery, the pain, the sorrow, the despair, deprivation, poverty, all of those adjectives are in there. But we're going to play that first, and then we're going to talk about how the spirituals could be used in two different environments. First of all, to express this sorrow and to worship in church. And then we're going to talk about how it became a work song as well. But let's start off with this one.
Well, I wonder will I ever get back home, hey. Ooh, oh, Lord. Well, it must have been the devil that fooled me, yeah, hey, hey, one more down and out. Hey, oh Lord, Lord, if I ever get back home, I never do wrong. Well, if I can just make it home, I won't do wrong no more. Lord, I won't do wrong no more. Lord, I left me willing to baby in the courthouse crying. Daddy, please don't go. Lord, I'll be back home. Well, Lord, I'll be home one day for long. Oh, just wait for me. Lord, I've been here rolling, but it stayed so long. Lord, I'm all down and out. My friend won't come and see. Lord, what's done happened to me? Lord, if I'd have listened to what my dear old mother said, hey, well, she's dead and gone. Lord, Lord, she's dead and gone. What I'm gonna do now.
Now that tracks what we mean about it not really a song. It's more of an expression of sorrow and unhappiness, isn't it? Can you hear the spiritual of it crying out to Jesus to deliver them from unhappiness and misery? But there you go. Anyway, so that's a Mississippi Groan kind of thing, all about that misery and pain. But then there's another aspect of how the spirituals were transposed and used in a different way. We're going to play a track now that is a spiritual. It says, I'll be glad when the sun goes down. Now, this is an expression of the people working in the plantation fields under the burning sun, almost from dawn until dusk. They'd be working in this situation. So we've got the spirituals in two different applications. Perhaps we should call them a purpose. First of all, we've got the expression of sorrow and despair. But this particular track is all about call and response, the encouragement to work and to make the work that much easier. I'll be glad when the sun goes down.
I'll be so glad when the sun goes down. I'll be so glad when the sun goes down. I ain't all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down. I ain't all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down. I ain't all that sleeping, but
I wanna lie down.
Oh, what got the matter, baby?
Yeah, I can't see.
Oh, what got the matter, baby?
Yeah, I can't see.
No, the sergeant and the driver's boat.
Put it down on me.
No, the sergeant and the driver's boat.
Put it down on me.
Just chop your corner like I chop mine. Just chop your corner like I chop mine. Well, you won't be worried when the sun go down. You'll never be worried when the sun go down.
Won't write to me.
I'm in a world of trouble. Won't write to me.
Won't write to me.
I'll be so glad when the sun goes down. Can you just imagine it? Doesn't take too much imagination, does it? Not really. Now, originally, the spirituals were oral. They simply passed from one slave generation to the next, and each generation learned the songs and the words of the songs as they went along. But in 1867, a list of these spirituals were actually published in a book called The Slave Songbook. And that appeared in 1867 and is still in, well, it's not necessarily in print, but it's still available. You can still read it and see it. And these songs, although they come from 1867, they're still sung in the churches to this day, but in a completely different form. They're put to music and they've got the piano or organ or whatever it may be going on there supporting them. The only trouble with that is if we look back into the days of slavery, these songs would have been sung completely different to what they would be sung in a church today. And so, sadly, the depth, the meaning, the intonation, the emotion of the song is completely lost. We can sing the words, but we can't feel what the song was meaning in 200 years ago. And that's such a shame. But it is still available and you can still see the lyrics or read the lyrics and sing along to the lyrics if you so desire. But sadly, we can't put ourselves in the shoes of the slaves that sang these songs originally. Now, there are two specific songs in this songbook I wanted to bring to your attention. One is called I Can't Stay Behind, My Lord. Another is called Turn, Sinner, Turn. Now, these songs have a shout where there's no singing part. So they sing a bit, and then there's a gap where, they're clapping or whatever it may be, and there's shouts going on in there. So the actual words are written, but they're not meant to be sung. They're meant to be shouted. Hallelujah, or whatever, something like that. Anyway, and the strange part about it is, if you take a group of singers singing these things, it sounds like no two singers are singing the same thing. It's all very strange. It's got a almost a harmonic to it, a descant to it, if you will, that's very difficult to follow and to understand. But it's well worth spending some time having a go at it, because it is absolutely intriguing. So what basically happens is, we've got almost a call and response going on. The caller, the reverend perhaps out front or whatever it may be, calls a chorus out, and then the congregation sing or shout or yell or groan or chant the response to it as the refrain. And then they join in the solo part that the minister would be singing if they knew the words. So it must have been quite a mixture of songs and chants and groans and all kinds of things going on. But we need to try to understand now where blues emerged from these spirituals. So we accept that prior to the spirituals there was a what we now call the blues, but in an entirely different form. Perhaps just a single person sat in a shack describing his or her sorrow or misery, whatever it may be. But we accept that the blues merged with the spirituals, and when the spirituals moved on from the 19th century, still in the slavery aspect of it, we can still hear an element of the blues. And I think you'll agree that the tracks we've played so far you can certainly describe as the blues. Not as the blues we perhaps think of the blues, but the blues are certainly in there. So perhaps we could paint a spiritual blue. Now, the blues background originates something around about 1860. That's when we know that there was an element of blues going on. We don't know exactly how it was expressed or why it was expressed. Well, we know why, but we don't know exactly how. There are no recordings. No one recorded anything in 1860. But certainly in the Deep South states, where the plantations were dependent on the slave labour, they held the largest number of enslaved people. So if we remember that blues existed prior to that date, the spirituals became the gospel element of the blues. So we take gospel and we take blues and we merge them together and we get spirituals. I'm not sure whether I can totally agree with that phrase. And I wonder if my very good friends out there listening to this are saying to themselves, no, don't agree with that at all. But that's okay. If I'm encouraging you to look into this and to do your research and to go on the internet and look at the books and all that sort of thing, that can only be a good thing, that we've got this thing going together. So what we're talking about really, prior to the spirituals, the blues were an individual person, perhaps one or two people, who expressed their sorrow and despair, their poverty in some kind of song. Whereas the spirituals with the blues element were more in church or in the work plantations and the congregations or the workers singing to get through their day. Is that fair enough? I wonder if you'd agree with that. So, shall we just agree that we take the word blues and we transpose a different word, and let's change misery to blues, and then we've got a blues spiritual structure, I think. Now, the form of spirituals was collectively developed by generations and communities of enslaved African Americans, starting as unaccompanied work songs, the call and response that we've just been listening to, of the plantation culture. And at this point, we can recall that some of these songs, they weren't just work songs or gospel songs. Some of them were entertainment. Were often supported by rudimentary instruments. We talked about a little while ago, you know, a basic drum or perhaps a form of piano even. Whatever existed in the church, they were able to play it, perhaps a triangle or a tambourine, almost anything, I suppose, that made a noise that supported the singing of the spirituals with that blues intonation. So I'm coming to the end of my little production, and I hope you found it interesting and enjoyed some of the music we played, but I want to make this point. It's getting to be a bit of a dogma for me, a bit of a hobby horse, as it were. We play their music now, and we love it, don't we? We love the rocking blues, and we love, makes us feel great, and we dance around the room, and we love it. But what we're really talking about, we're talking about a blues that existed up to 200 years ago. And I wonder if we reflect these days that our artists are playing about the blues. They're taking music and we're calling it the blues, and it is the blues, and we can enjoy it as the blues, and we play the blues. And we put a label on that and we say that's the blues. But what we're really talking about when we play this music, and we talk about slavery, and we talk about spirituals, and we talk about the earliest blues going back to the turn of the century, Delta blues, Mississippi blues, Appalachian blues, Louisiana blues, you name it. It goes on and on. Texas blues, Florida blues, all kinds of blues. But what we're really talking about when we talk about those blues, we're talking about people who are singing of their personal experience. They experienced the blues. They knew the blues. We are talking about their expression of their personal blues. And I want to end this production with just one more track. And this is called No More, My Lord.
No more, my Lord. No more. No more, I found in him may rest and play, and he have made me glad. No. No more, my Lord. Lord, I'll never turn back. No more, Jesus, amen. I am looking for. Can you tell me where he's gone? Go down, go down, among flower yard, and perhaps you may find. And him there.
No more, my Lord. Pretty descriptive, don't you agree? Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this production, The Spirituals Stroke the Blues. I hope you've enjoyed what we've done. I hope you've enjoyed my ramblings and the music we've played. I'll look forward to seeing you on the Blue Time Machine when we do the backtracking production. That's where we go back to the roots of the blues themselves, and back to where it all began. Well, thank you again for listening. In the meantime, please take very good care and be nice to each other. Catch you again very, very soon. Bye just now.